21st Century Skills, Rethinking How Students Learn. Authors James Bellesina and Ron Brandt. Every generation's responsibility. In the old days, people were taught to do simple calculations, write letters and read. With the current blitz of fast-moving developments in technology, schools are beefing up their science and mathematics programs. So trying to foresee students' futures needs not be trendy, it's a necessity. But of course, it's only in the beginning. The hard parts are first, determining how these new demands fit in relation to the existing curriculum. Second, finding ways that can be taught along with content, and then managing the complex process of implementation. New policies for the 21st century demands. Students need to be able to solve problems using a wide range of information, resources, and digital tools. Therefore, all students need to develop more complex cognitive abilities so that they can find, analyse and use information for a range of purposes, including the development of new products and ideas. They need to collaborate and communicate so that they can take advantage of each other's knowledge and expertise. The 21st century is quite different from the 20th in regard to the skills people now need for work. The types of work done by people are continually shifting as computers and telecommunications expand their capabilities to accomplish human tasks. Declining proportions of labour force are engaged in jobs and consist primarily of routine cognitive work and routine manual labour. Growing proportions of labour force are engaged in jobs that emphasise expert thinking or complex communication. Given that the curriculum is already crowded, a major challenge is articulating what to de-emphasise and the curriculum in order to make room for students to deeply master core 21st century skills. Beyond curricular issues, classrooms today lack 21st century learning and teaching, in part because tests don't assess these competencies. Assessments and tests focus on measuring students' fluency in various abstract routine skills, but typically do not assess their strategies for expert decision-making. Students' abilities to transfer their understanding to real-world situations are not assessed, nor are capabilities related to various aspects of teamwork. The use of technological applications is generally banned from testing. Rather than providing an opportunity to measure students' capability to use such tools, applications, and media effectively. The lack of professionalism development is another reason 21st century skills are unemphasized during today's schooling. Providing educators with opportunities to learn is only part of the issue. A major, often unrecognised challenge in professional development is helping teachers, policymakers and local communities unlearn the beliefs and values, assumptions and cultures underlying schools' industrial era operating practices. Intellectual, emotional and social support is essential for unlearning and for transformational relearning that can lead to deeper behaviour changes and create next generation educational practices. The role of professional learning communities. We agree that the best environment for teaching the 21st century life and career skills is one in which adults model these behaviours and skills. Educators committed to helping students acquire the knowledge and skills essential to their future must operate from the assumption that improvement in student outcomes will require changes in adult behaviours. Teachers and principals must develop their own individual and collective capacity. And the best strategy for development and capacity is to encourage in behaviours that are vital to professional learning community, PLC. Unlike most educational reforms, which have focused on structure, the specific intent of the PLC concept is to change the context and culture of the school. The peer pressure of the social networks is one of the most powerful and accessible tools for influencing the behaviour of others. This tool is unavailable in organisations in which people work in isolation. So the PLC concept changes the context by breaking down the walls of isolation to ensure people are on meaningful terms that work interdependently to achieve common goals for which members are mutually accountable. The Singapore Vision, Teach Less, Learn More. Singapore's visionary education framework, Teach Less, Learn More, was created for the nation's entry into the 21st century. It's part of a large framework consisting of four separate but interrelated components. 1. A vision for the whole nation. 2. A vision for the Singaporean education. 3. A vision for implementing school change. And 4. A vision for the collaborative constructs of the PLCs. Together, these four visions propel substantive change to previously accepted practices, and they support the transformation of Singapore's education system to meet the challenges of the 21st century. Number 1. Vision for a Nation. Thinking Schools Learning Nation is the first vision in framework. It's about building a core set of life skills, attitudes and dispositions in students that will create a mindset of innovation and enterprise, which is integral to the prosperity of the individual and the country. 2. The Vision for Education. Teach Less, Learn More is the second vision in the framework. It provides a strong and steady anchor for the transformational bridging from the 20th century education to the 21st century skills. These skills include the global skills of learning and innovation, career skills and information, media and technology skills, and life skills. These are just exposed with core subjects from traditional disciplines and laced with timely 21st century themes of global awareness and financial, economical, business and health literacies. Number 3, the vision for implementation. Tight, loose, tight is the third component in Singapore's framework for the 21st century. A school reform with a goal of teach less, learn more has a little sustainability, if not flexible enough to address a variety of local schools' needs or able to accommodate emotive constraints. The tight, loose, tight formula combines an adherence to central design principles tight with expected accommodations to the needs, resources, constraints and particularities that occur in any school, loose. When these don't conflict with the theoretical framework, tight, and untimely with the stated goals and desires, results, tight. The vision for collaboration, number 4. Professional learning communities is the fourth component that completes Singapore's framework for change. As part of the National Reform Initiative, schools are made up of learning teams with members who work interdependently through structured collaboration to propel the implementation process. The collaborative work distills the essence of each group's thinking, believing that social discourse bears the fruit of creative thought. Educators embrace this as their instrument of change and they welcome the collaborative spirit and the camaraderie that accompanies teamwork. Why do teachers should teach less so students can learn more? The world of instant communication complicates the work of teachers. In the past, the fax machine was an unknown tool for Singapore's teachers. Now it's almost obsolete. School teachers had no real knowledge or access of the internet. Now the simple cell phone debuts as the new laptop for 10 to 15 million school children. It presents just one of the impending technology challenges for teachers' struggle to keep pace in this information-rich society. Through meetings and conversations, Singapore's teachers come to an understanding that teach less doesn't mean that they should actually teach less. Not less in terms of hours or teaching time, not less in terms of fundamental discipline-based knowledge, and not less in terms of core curriculum and essential material. Teach less means addressing two essential concerns: what to teach and how to teach it. What to teach and how to teach it. What to teach involves the quantity or quality conundrum of standards-based curriculum. How to teach refers directly to the delivery methods of teachers employ. They know they must find a way to manage the enormous quantity of content in the curriculum and, at the same time, look at the issue of the quality of the content as it relates to the 21st century skills. In deep discussions peppered with the personal stories of classroom experiences, teachers gradually come to understand that teach less means teaching less in the traditional didactic delivery of information, less teacher talk, less pour and store, and less frequent one-way broadcast. They discover that to teach less means using a wider and deeper instructional repertoire. Interactive methodologies, hands-on learning, collaborative instructions, and multimodal learning in the classroom. New skills for the 21st century. Number 1. Project and problem-based learning. Students' best work produce and construct knowledge through project-based learning. Teachers start each unit by introducing students and real-world project that both know engages their interests and generates a list of information students need to know. Projects are designed to tackle complex problems requiring critical thinking. Some examples of projects include presenting a plan to Congress on solving the oil crisis, or inventing under the contract of NASA, new sports or astronauts can play on the moon so that they can get exercise. Projects have associated rubrics for content, collaboration, written communication, oral communication, critical thinking, and so on, and can all be posted online for students so they can decide on their own whether to achieve basic, proficient, or advanced work. Number 2, assessment for learning. Effective assessment for learning provides students with a just-in-time information about their own learning and links to information on the criteria needed to do better. Self-assessment is a critical component of assessing for learning, and students look at their grades on a daily basis and check online for rubrics for a project's criteria for basic, proficient, and advanced work. By making the assessment criteria transparent and understandable, students are then able to make their own decisions about what performance target or level they wish to accomplish. At the end of a project, student teams present to an external audience of community experts and parents. They are assessed on their product and on their communication skills, and students also assess their team members on their collaboration skills. They also write reflections on what they learned and how the project can be improved. Designing new learning environments. We should now be able to see three student work modes: computer work, talk with others, and making something. These modes require three distinctive environments for learning: focused work environments, collaborative work environments, and hand project work environments. Innovators no longer speak of classrooms. Students now work in learning studios, learning plazas, and home bases. They shift as needed into many varied extended learning areas and collaboration zones. Most innovative schools still feature specialized classrooms for making things, including art, engineering, media, and design labs. Technology in the 21st century schools. Students in 21st century schools find the information they need through internet research, email communication, and Skype video interviews of experts. Then, working individually or in collaborative team, they construct products. Finally, they utilize technology to present their findings, often to an authentic audience of community experts. Computers, cameras, and interactive whiteboards all seem to come to life as student tools in a 21st century classroom. Newer Web 2.0 tools add greatly to the student toolset for an individual and collaborative work. Students utilize all these tools to be investigators and producers of knowledge. Student engagement. In order to engage students in deep learning, they need to be motivated, curious learners who in classrooms that scaffold that engagement through visualization, democratization of knowledge, and participatory learning. Visualization. We are wired to swiftly process visuals, albeit differently than we process sound and text. Recent researchers can form a dual coding system through which visuals and text auditory input are processed in separate channels. Both of these channels are extremely limited in their capacity. The implications for this education are many. First, it's important to acknowledge that people learn from combining visuals with text and sound more than through using either process alone. Students engaged in learning that incorporates multimodality outperform students who learn using traditional approaches with single modes. Number two, democratization of knowledge. The internet has opened a new opportunity for people to learn throughout their lives in both formal and informal environments, individually and in groups. The very ecology of learning is evolving, and people are informally learning based on personal, professional, family, work, and community needs, interests, and/or responsibilities. The implications for schools are significant. Educators should consider how to extend the formal learning launched in schools into other nodes. Schools should also ensure that students gain knowledge and expertise in navigating, interacting, and learning within digital environments. Number three, participatory learning. Today's schools are focused on individual acquisition of knowledge, despite the fact that increasingly society and work emphasize teaming, collaboration, and participatory learning. The advent of Facebook, YouTube, Flickr, Twitter, and RSS feeds and smart mobile devices have enabled millions to interact in real time 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Web 2.0 have enabled everyone to post, exchange, and comment on video, audio, and text files, interact on social networking sites, participate in live chats, share perspectives, Flickr and Twitter. People now expect to be active participants in these virtual communities. At the heart of these communities is the evolutionary nature of community norms, values, content, discourse, and life cycle. Social networks as learning tools. Becoming an online networked learner requires more than the ability to navigate both people and information. These online interactions will engage and most not simply affirm what we already know or support our current worldview. We must seek and embrace diversity in the connections, not in race, gender, or location, so much as including voices and viewpoints that are different from our own. People who are willing to respectfully challenge our opinions and assessments and be open for continuing to debate our conversation. At the same time, we must be able to discern those who may carry an agenda that may belie their sincerity to learn with us. How then do we begin to make this shift? By becoming nodes ourselves. Schools can no longer see themselves as the central learning hubs. At this moment, tens of thousands of teachers and students around the world are employing social networking tools such as blogs and wikis in their classroom. Teaching now has transparency. Sharing lessons, reflections, or questions can move us into the real community of learners with others from far outside our physical spaces. A culture of learning. We are within reach of creating a culture of learning where our students take more responsibility for managing their own learning and where they are creating content that benefits their classmates and even students of the world. This redefines the role of the learner and the teacher. While the teacher knowledge remains essential, the traditional transfer method from the teacher to the students now evolves the whole world to class working as a team. It becomes the teacher's role to build a capacity for the students to be self-directed and interdependent. Teachers need to think more about learning that is relevant to the world students live in and the world that they will live in.